You know Bud Wilkinson. I had to explain to the earlier service who he was. Great coach of the Sooners, that led them to 3 national championships in the 40s and 50s and 60s, who one time was asked by a journalist how he thought football had contributed to the physical fitness of people in the United States. And Wilkinson said, not at all. And the journalist was a little surprised by that and said, would you care to elaborate? And he said famously, I define football as 22 men on the field needing rest and 40,000 people in the stands needing exercise. And oftentimes, that's a quote that's applied to church life. A few people working themselves to death and hundreds of others relegated to kind of spectator status. You know what I mean. Spectator status. Passive in the stands. We saw last week that the Lord didn't want anyone in the stands. He calls us all to serve. Not in the stands and not on the bench. Have you been on the bench before? 5th and 6th grade basketball, I was on the bench. I was a 6th man on a team of 7 players. And actually, I got to where I was kind of comfortable on the bench. In fact, by the end of the season, my great fear was that the coach might put me in, because I was pretty sure that I would embarrass myself and maybe hurt the team. And some of you have been on the bench long enough that you're a little bit afraid of getting active, of serving. What if you embarrass yourself? What if you do something wrong, even hurt the church? We don't want anybody in the stands. We don't want anybody on the bench. Jesus calls us to serve. And we've been talking about being faithful to serve this month. You've had a Sunday school lesson about serving the Lord in the church. We had a service fair last week. In fact, last Sunday, over 275 people signed up to serve some way through FIT team or Sunday school, children's ministry, music ministries. We want to be faithful to serve. Last Sunday, we looked at Mark chapter 5. Now, right at the core of the teaching of Jesus is a call to serve. We saw in Mark chapter 10 that, I said 5, didn't I? In Mark chapter 10, we see right at the core of Jesus' teaching is this issue of serving. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, then you need to serve. If you want to be first, then you need to serve. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. We're called to be faithful to serve. And remember, last week we saw how Jesus changes us. And one of the key indicators of a life and heart changed by Jesus is Jesus gives us a desire to serve. When we know Jesus and he's changed our heart, we want to serve him. We desire to serve him. And here's the good news. The Bible teaches us that not only does Jesus give us a desire to serve, but Jesus gives us the capacity to serve. He gives us a desire to serve by his grace, and by his grace, he gives us the ability, a capacity to serve him faithfully. And we're going to see how we learn this in the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're just going to look at 2 verses this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Faithful to serve. You follow along as I read these 2 verses. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, do so as one speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's a powerful, short little text. And it's so short and simple that we don't want to overcomplicate it. It's one of the reasons I selected this text. Remember Peter later on in 2 Peter will refer to Paul's writings. And he'll say, you know, Paul has written and it's inspired. You should read it, he says. But it's hard to understand. Peter says that in 2 Peter. And when it comes to spiritual gifts, sometimes what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians can kind of be hard to understand. He lists all those gifts, you know, 7 gifts and 12 gifts and the work of the Holy Spirit. Peter gives us a very simple statement about how God gifts each one of us to serve. It's a very important text for us. And what I would like to do is just walk through it phrase by phrase and make sure you see what the Word of God says to you about your service. Did you notice, as we read just these two verses, a short little text, did you notice the repeated emphasis on God, 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 Peter says, 4 times. So even though he's writing about our service, he's even writing about service in the church, his emphasis is not on what we're doing, but what God is doing. God, 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 Peter says. And in writing about our faithfulness to serve, he wants us to understand that our faithfulness to serve is a response to God's faithfulness in our life. So in this text about Christian service, he talks about God's grace and God's Word and God's strength and God's glory. This is the work of God in and through our lives. And we see this as we read the text. Now, let's just read through these two little verses, phrase by phrase. Verse 10. As each one has received a special gift. I really am not sure why the New American Standard uses that word special, because it's not there in the text. The text simply says, as each one has received a gift. Each one has received a gift. This is a statement of fact. Not a wish, not a prayer, not wouldn't it be great if. But Peter states as a fact to the church, each one has received a gift. Received a gift. Not who we are, not something we should be proud of. Something God has given us. The word gift is that word charisma, in plural charismata. It's the work of God's Spirit in our lives. He gives us the desire to serve and he gives us capacity to serve. Spiritual gifts. And the key in Peter's statement is each one has received a gift. You know, the longer I sat on the bench in sixth grade, the more I came to the conclusion that my coach was probably a pretty good judge of talent. I probably belonged on the bench, right? In fact, I decided to be a wrestler the next year. And some of you, if you're not careful, you get to a place where you think, you know what? I probably don't have much I can contribute. Maybe I'm better off just staying on the sidelines. Maybe even just quitting. I don't have much to offer. Do you know that's an idea that is a clear contradiction to the teaching of Scripture? The Bible says each one of you has received a gift, God's grace, which gives you a capacity to serve in some way. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another. Use your gifts. Don't be passive. Use your gifts to serve. Don't be selfish. Use your gifts to serve one another. Not prideful, not arrogant, not puff yourself up, but to serve the other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Use your gifts to serve one another. We seek status, don't we? Do you know what I read this week? There are now over 450 who's who lists. That means if you make a who's who's list, you're still not anybody. Right? Because people will pay you to give them a book that has your name listed in it. Right? We seek status. But the kingdom of God, we find status by serving. We're first when we're last. We give ourselves away. Serving one another. Now, it seems to me that Peter's teaching here is a little, that our ideas in the Christian community today are a little out of sync with Peter's teaching. And maybe you won't agree with me, but it seems to me that we talk a lot today about serving the Lord. And that surely is a biblical theme. We serve the Lord. And we talk much today about serving the least of these. People who are hungry or hurting out there. We even talk a lot about serving the lost so that they'll come to Christ. All of those are biblical truths. But Peter here says, serve one another. He specifically focuses on the church serving the brethren, serving each other. And later on, he's going to talk about the glory of God. And his teaching is that if you really want to glorify God, serve each other. Because the world sets up and takes notice when church works. When the body of Christ is serving one another in humility and grace. And where did Peter get this idea? I'll give you a clue. Peter got all of his ideas from Jesus. Right? Remember Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this will all men know that you are truly my disciples, if you love one another. And Peter is following in that line of thought when he says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. And then the last part of verse 10 says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture. I love this language. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what the grace of God is, right? His undeserved favor. He gives us what we could not earn. He blesses us in a way we do not deserve. You know that we're saved by grace. We're not in a right relationship with God because we've earned it or merited it or deserved it. Because God gave us what we do not deserve, could never earn. By His grace we're saved. And by His grace we serve. He has given gifts of grace. Charisma, charismata, grace gifts, which give us a capacity to serve. We receive His grace. Peter says, when you serve one another faithfully, you are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold is a New Testament word that literally can mean multicolored. It's a word that speaks to variety and diversity and beauty. Peter said, when I look at the church, I see the grace of God on display, the wonderful variety and diversity and beauty. And I see it most when they are serving one another. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And when you serve one another faithfully, you are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have all received the grace of God in different ways. And whatever you've received, you want to be a good steward of that, right? You know, you understand the stewardship language. You don't own it. You're managing it for the master. And one day you'll give an account. We use the stewardship language of the Bible oftentimes to talk about managing our money properly in a way that honors God so that we give account to Him. Here Peter talks about the stewardship of our spiritual gifts, the stewardship of our abilities to serve. Faithful service is being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Where'd Peter get that idea? You know, don't you? Where'd he get all of his ideas? I knew you guys would know the answer to that. You remember the time that Jesus was teaching the disciples and Peter said, Lord, are you talking to us or somebody else? Let me give you a little hint. When you have to ask that question, he's probably talking to you. He said, Lord, are you talking to us or to somebody else? Jesus had been telling them these parables about a steward, right? Not the owner, but the manager. He said, there's a steward, and the master leaves him in charge. And while the master's away, the steward doesn't want to go to sleep. He doesn't want to be lazy. He wants to make sure that when the master returns, he's found faithful. He's alert. He's ready. He's managing the master's resources. And Peter said, Lord, are you talking about us or somebody else? And Jesus said, you better believe I'm talking about you. That's okay for verily, verily, I say unto you. He said, you better believe I'm talking about you. And then that is the moment when Jesus said, from whom much is given, much shall be required. It's one of the heaviest teachings in Scripture, I think. Peter, I'm especially talking about you. Look at all that you've received from me. And when you've received the truth of God's word, when you've received training, spiritual gifts for service, freedom, opportunities for service, those are not just privileges, they're responsibilities. And we are accountable for those things. We want to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, in between verse 10 and 11, Peter moves from general principles. By the way, verse 10 is so important. I encourage you to memorize verse 10. And in verse 11, he presses into these two specific examples. He just mentions two broad categories of gifts. How does God gift us, equip us for serving? Peter makes it simple. Speaking and serving. Some of you are gifted by God to speak. Some gifted to serve in other ways. Which is a very important distinction for us, because there's a real tendency in churches, especially Bible teaching and preaching churches like ours, to think, well, if I can't teach, I'd have got nothing to offer. Right? I'd like to serve, but I'm not a good teacher. Speaking and serving. Speaking, teaching and preaching, communicating God's truth, and serving. Administration, helping, mercy. Most all of the gifts that Paul lists in his lists in Romans and 1 Corinthians can fall into these two categories. So look what Peter says in verse 11. Whoever speaks, do so as one who is speaking the words of God, the utterance of God. Now, Peter here is challenging those of us who God equips to preach and teach to take that work seriously. It's not about authority. He's not saying when you speak with the authority of God because you're a gifted teacher or preacher. And listen, in the New Testament, it's almost never about authority. It's always about responsibility. Peter's saying, you take this responsibility seriously. Whether you're preaching to a congregation or teaching a group of 8 or 10 people in class, whether they're 80-year-olds or 2-year-olds, remember that you are not there to share your opinions or your ideas or to fire half-cocked thoughts, but you're there to teach the Word of God. Take your responsibility seriously as you exercise those gifts. And he continues, whoever serves as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Whatever the role it is, whatever the area of giftedness, you serve. That's the word diakonos, like the word deacon, through the dust. You serve one another, serve the church through the strength which God supplies. Supply is a word that originally was used to describe a sponsor. Like if you wanted to go on a choir trip, and I said, I'll pay for the trip. I'd be your sponsor as you went around singing, right? And it came to mean someone who supplies, a provider. God gifts us for service. He's our supplier. He's our provider. He gives us all we need to do His work. And we're to exercise those gifts accordingly. And look at the bottom line, verse 11. So that, This is a little purpose clause. This is the end of it all. Why are we serving one another? So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Listen, this is very important. Peter teaches us here that our ultimate purpose in serving one another as a church is to glorify God through Jesus Christ. It's to give God credit, fame, praise. It's very important that the purpose for which we serve is not our own self-fulfillment. You don't need to find a place of service so that you can be fulfilled, satisfied, enriched. It's not what this is about. It's not your own fulfillment. It's not even, ultimately, to build a great church. Our mission is not merely to build a great church. If all we do is build up a church that causes people to praise the church, then we failed. The end is not to say, oh, what a great church. Our end is so that God may be glorified through our Lord Jesus Christ. We want Him to be glorified. To whom, look at the last phrase, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's not, the grammar there is clear. This is not a wish. It's not a prayer. It's not, he ought to receive the glory, or I hope he receives the glory. It's a statement of fact, a present tense verb. To whom is the glory and dominion forever and ever. There's nothing that you could do or I could do. There's nothing we could do that could ever change the fact that all the glory and power is His. It's always been that way, always will be that way. To Him is the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Right? What Peter is saying is that when the church works, when the body is faithful, when we each serve one another with the gifts that we've received, then we put a spotlight on the glory of God. We don't create the glory, but we show forth His praises. So that people around us can come to understand something of the faithfulness and the power and the grace and the presence of God in our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. This is such churchy language that you're going to miss it. Some of you have heard this your whole life. Think about it. You and I together serving one another, we have a capacity to glorify God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all we have to do, each one serve one another. Do you know that the converse of that is true? That we as the people of God, the church, we also have a capacity to cast a cloud over the glory of God. To be not His glory but His reproach. And when a church is selfish, when a church is divided, when a church is weak and selfish, then there's a shadow cast over the glory of God. The biblical language is that we reproach His name. We don't want to be a reproach to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each one serving one another. This is what Peter says. Each one serve one another. Our vocabulary oftentimes says more than we mean to say. Right? If I asked the younger people in our church, not that you guys, most, I'm looking right here at the ground. See, no one in particular. If somebody's talking to them about church, ask them about their church life, they tend to say, I go to church. Where do you go to church? I go to church at Quail Springs Baptist Church. I go to. And do you hear that that's vocabulary of a spectator? I attend. I go, those a little bit not so young tend to use the language of membership. If somebody asks you about your church life, many of you would say, I'm a member of Quail Springs Baptist Church. And that's biblical language. Like joining a club, but being a member of the body, that's good, solid biblical language. But some of you use it like a kind of a status claim, I'm a member of. I wonder what would happen if we let the word serve creep into our vocabulary. And we said, I serve the Lord at Quail Springs Baptist Church. I serve with Quail Springs Baptist Church. I serve. Peter says, each one serve one another. Do you hear that? Each one serve one another by God's grace, in God's strength, as God's steward for God's glory. This is the life of the church, according to Peter. It's a beautiful text. Have you ever heard the phrase, what God hath wrought? You understand the word wrought? Work that into your vocabulary this week. Like God's work, what God has done, what God hath wrought. You know, back in the 1840s, the federal government gave Samuel Morse $30,000 to build a line from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore. First ever telegraph message was sent over that line. And May of 1843, the first ever message was sent. And the message was, what God hath wrought. Isn't that great? Do you know that Morse was quoting the Bible? What God hath wrought is actually a statement from Numbers chapter 23. And it's when Balaam looked over the Hebrew children and God spoke through Balaam. And looking there at Israel, he said, you know what? There's nothing anybody can do about this. God has blessed these people. And he said, one day, all the nations are going to be forced to look at Israel and say, what God hath wrought. That's our reason for existing. It's the reason you draw breath today, and it's the reason we as a congregation exist. To live our lives in such a way that even our enemies will be forced to declare, that's what God is doing. This is the work of God. What God hath wrought. And that's what Peter's saying. So that God will be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Serve one another. Each one. Serve one another. By His grace, in His strength, as His stewards, for His glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the way that Jesus taught Peter and Peter teaches us today. And I pray that we would glorify Your name, that we as Your people, Your church, would glorify Your name, that each one of us would serve one another. By Your grace and in Your strength, we'd be good stewards, serving one another in a way that glorifies Your name. Even so, Lord Jesus. Let's continue with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song of response this morning to give you an opportunity to respond to God's Word and to His Holy Spirit. And I was preaching to the church this morning, but some of you here have never made a personal commitment to Christ. You know that you need Jesus to change your heart, to give you forgiveness, a desire and a capacity to serve Him, a purpose and hope of eternal life. This invitation is your chance to come to faith in Christ. Some of you need to come and make a commitment to serve. You've been in the stands, on the bench. You need to come and make a commitment to serve. These front steps are open as an altar. Maybe you want to come and join our church this morning to make a commitment to serve together with this body of Christ to the glory of God. As the Lord has spoken to you, we want you to answer now. Standing together and singing, you come.